You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. We are thrilled to be able to spend the next several minutes with Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania, to really take a look at the rhetorical significance of this speech last night, what it means for the Obama presidency, what it means for the ability to actually make things that were promised or at least alluded to in that speech come true for the American people. First of all, thanks so much for being with us again, Kathleen.
You're welcome.
And it seems to me there's a lot of themes here, and let's start with this one. It seemed to me that one general theme was, hey, we have to get our act together. And he was speaking to Democrats in this first cut.
I campaigned on the promise of change. Change we can believe in, the slogan went. And right now, I know there are many Americans who aren't sure if they still believe we can change or that I can deliver. But remember this. I never suggested the change would be easy or that I could do it alone. Democracy in a nation of 300 million people can be noisy and messy and complicated. And when you try to do big things and make big changes, it stirs passions and controversy. That's just how it is.
Now, rhetorically, this seems to be some of the most interesting stuff that the president did last night. This soft voice kind of confiding with Congress and by implication the American people. What did you make of it?
The first thing a speaker has to do is to create the sense that he or she understands the audience and understands its anxieties, its fears, and in this case, that some of its expectations about this president have not yet been met. You can't argue that you have created some of the change and then will accomplish the rest until the audience grants you that first premise, and that's what he's doing. But he moves from there in that speech to argue that some of the things that have been accomplished, you've lost track of, audience. You've lost track of those tax cuts. You've lost track of help with home ownership. You've lost track of the fact that people are employed who otherwise might not be, but we still have a long way to go. He's trying to feature the benefits he's already accomplished, but a long way left to go.
In this style of speaking, does he run the risk of looking vulnerable, of looking like, hey, guys, come on, it's hard, but let's get it together?
He would run a greater risk if he looked as if he didn't realize that there was a problem. And in the process, what he needs to do, and I think he did, was to signal to key constituents that he understands their needs. He talked to the young about college loans. That reduces college students' anxieties somewhat. He talked to small business owners about tax relief, capital gains cuts relief. And in the next couple of days, he will be in a contest with the news media to feature, he will be trying to feature positive things that are happening and promises he will fulfill. News media will be focusing on what hasn't happened yet. Those visual images will either underscore the speech or will undercut it.
Here was a more traditional soundbite from Barack Obama last night, really talking about problem solving, but couching it in a way that you might have heard from Ronald Reagan or even a George W. Bush.
Well, I do not accept second place for the United States of America. As hard as it may be, as uncomfortable and contentious as the debates may become, it's time to get serious about fixing the problems that are hampering our growth.
So, Kathleen Hall Jamison, how does he do there? I mean, that's a very traditional role for a president. And here you see the president going back and forth between this very soft-spoken, hey, I'm vulnerable, hey, we've got problems, to this very straight-ahead nationalistic appeal.
Now, ordinarily, you expect part of the State of the Union address to speak to the world community, because there is an eavesdropping community around the world. Sometimes it's very large. In this speech, it's quite different. He speaks to the U.S. community about its place in the world and argues that the U.S. will not retain its global competitiveness unless these problems are solved. That's an important argument, risky because the public expects to hear, we are the best and we will be forever, but necessary if you're going to argue for fundamental change.
All right. Here he's speaking directly to the Congress, and I'm wondering how this plays, do you think, to the American people? Listen to this. I'm sure you recall this in a moment.
The Democrats, I would remind you that we still have the largest majority in decades, and the people expect us to solve problems, not run for the hills.
Thank you.
And if the Republican leadership is going to insist that 60 votes in the Senate are required to do any business at all in this town, a supermajority, then the responsibility to govern is now yours as well.
Kathleen Hall Jamieson, does he run the risk here of sounding like he's saying, not my fault?
Depends on what you hear the rest of the speech saying. If you hear the rest of the speech saying, jobs, important, we're going to deliver, health care still on the agenda, come on, folks, let's get it done, you won't hear that alternative interpretation. But again, if news features that and doesn't pull in that alternative part of the speech, remember, this is a very long speech, what you feature matters, then the alternative interpretation is going to be more dominant.
Finally, I thought he took a really extraordinary risk in this next speech, where he talked, and actually Celeste pointed this out earlier this morning, that the president didn't make a lot of promises like he has known to do much earlier in the administration, things like closing Gitmo, setting a deadline for that sort of thing. We didn't hear that kind of thing last night, except in a couple of places, and here's one of them.
We will have all of our combat troops out of Iraq by the end of this August. We will support the Iraqi government. We will support the Iraqi government as they hold elections, and we will continue to partner with the Iraqi people to promote regional peace and prosperity. But make no mistake, this war is ending, and all of our troops are coming home.
Kathleen Hall Jamieson, it seems to me, if that doesn't happen, he's incredibly vulnerable.
He's saying, I'm going to keep a key campaign promise. You can trust me. I keep my word.
And do you think he can deliver on it? Do you think it's a risk?
I think it's a risk because in any situation in which you are perceived to be at war or are at war, you've got vulnerabilities, and you may have changed circumstances on the ground and may, as a result, not be able to keep a promise.
All right, finally, just your assessment before we go of this speech.
Good speech, difficult circumstances, but this isn't a time in which words matter. Deeds are going to count. Let's see what happens.
All right. Kathleen Hall Jamieson, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. That's really kind of a consensus we're hearing this morning.
It is.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.